spend more time in the outdoors and you'll find that everything in life gets better.
Yeah, I greatly enjoyed this. It's one of my funnest podcasts I've ever been part of.
No more dreaming, no more wishing. Wave goodbye. I'm gone fishing.
Welcome to the Canadian Fishing Podcast,
previously known as the Made for Memories Podcast,
where we explore the sport and business of fishing in Canada
and the memories made in the great outdoors. Hello, Brad.
Hello, Jessica.
Are you reveling in your post public speaking aura of awesome?
Public speaking doesn't bother me that much, but I got to public speak twice on the main stage, the only stage, but the main stage at the Red Deer Fish and Game Association's annual Central Alberta Outdoor Show. That was kind of fun.
I don't know how you do it. I would not like public speaking. I mean, you know the stuff well. You were speaking about our company's history. Yeah. But you're funny.
Thank you. Yes. Like,
a little bit self-deprecating and informative, and you did really well. Good job. Well,
thank you. Thank you. Yes. Yes. I'm not as serious and mean as some people think I am.
Maybe it's because Wes scheduled your sessions for the afternoon. Did you ask him to do that?
No, but that's very smart of him. Anyways, so yeah, that was the weekend. We got snowed out, sort of. It wasn't super busy the one day, but it was, I don't know. Consumer shows can be fun. Like, they're not something we do very, very often, but yeah.
Get a chance to see some unsolicited fish pics.
Yeah, you saw a few of them. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Gave out some balloons. Sold some hats.
Yep, sold some hats.
And we had a couple boxes left over from our Fishing for Food Banks campaign.
Right. Yep.
So I decided to throw them up there for a super cheap blowout sale. And I calculated, and we have $766 to donate.
Left in the whole thing.
We're able to donate that. So I'm going to make a donation to the Lacombe Food Bank.
Cool. How much was that on the whole? Was it $57,000, something like that? That's okay. It doesn't matter.
Over $50,000 for the whole thing. That was my favorite campaign, I think, that we've run.
Yeah, it was a good one. Yeah, it was a good campaign. Maybe we'll bring it back one day, but not today.
We need a chance to just kind of sit back and refresh, and we're focusing on a few other things right now, and the staff is busy. It's spring. We got orders rolling in, shaping up to be a good season. I think that maybe the COVID retail hangover is
over,
slowly starting to lift. So
yeah, I don't think it's over yet, but it's, yeah, I think you're right. I think it's normalizing a little bit. So
yeah, let's talk fishing.
Yeah, we got a really neat guest today from Ontario. We're gonna go back across the country for this one, to the Great Lakes of our fine country. And I think that we have way too much to cover with Mark Penner with Grimsby Tackle.
We do, because he has quite the resume.
Yeah, he's got quite the resume. So let's get right into it and talk to Mark.
I'm going to start with a bio. Today we welcome Mark Penner. Mark is the manager of Grimsby Tackle in Grimsby, Ontario, which is just west of St. Catharines. He is also the president of the St. Catharines Game and Fish Association, the vice president of the Straight Line Anglers Club, youth director of the St. Catharines Bassmaster, and a competitive tournament angler on Lake Ontario with his team to fish. Mark, you're a busy guy.
I've got a few hats I wear.
Yeah, I didn't know that we are both presidents of our local fishing game clubs. Did you know that?
I didn't know you were.
We are just six weeks ago.
Okay.
So
two peas in a pod.
We'll just call ourselves the President's Club or something for the rest of the time.
Sounds good.
Jess is just a lowly membership, director of membership.
Right. Oh, I'm sure she does other things too without titles.
Oh, yeah, she does.
Yeah. No, there's never a dull moment, you know, even when, you know, if there's a couple evenings where there's no meetings or things to attend or be at, you know, there's always, you know, some emails or planning ahead for one group or another. So, but it's good. It's all positive energy.
So let's start by talking about your passion for fishing and how that all got started. Where did you grow up? How'd you get here?
Yeah, so I grew up in St. Catharines, and we were just up the hill from Port Dalhousie Harbor on Lake Ontario here. Fishing started at a young age, you know, when we go on camping trips and stuff like that. A lot of our summer vacations kind of had a fishing element to it. You know, my dad, you know, fished a bit. You know, I wouldn't say he was an avid angler, but he certainly enjoyed fishing. And, you know, we did, you know, trips up north often. And we dabbled when I was younger, you know, doing some Lake Ontario trolling for a bit. And then we had a trailer up on in the Kawartha Lakes area, just north of Toronto, northeast of Toronto. So we were up there for some time, and we did a lot of walleye and pike and bass, and or not pike, sorry, a musky fishing up there. So, and then when I got older, you know, after high school and stuff, I got my own boat, and then I started fishing more around here again, you know, Lake Ontario a lot, and Lake Erie and the Niagara River. We've got world-class fishing for so many different species, you know, within a 20-minute drive of my house.
It sounds like it started at a young age, but you were the general manager of the Grimsby Fish and Tackle in Grimsby, Ontario, which if you're ever driving up the highway down to Niagara region, it's only a couple minutes off the highway, and it's a really, really interesting, well-stocked store. But that's not been your career the whole time, so tell us how you got involved in the fishing industry from a professional point of view.
Yeah. So I guess it's all about timing and sort of who you know and stuff like that. But, I first kind of dabbled getting into the fishing industry when I first kind of getting involved with some fishing clubs around 2010 or so. I'd gotten to know Shane Toms, who operates Fantastic Sport Fishing. And for many years, I worked part-time with him on his charter boat on Lake Ontario and Lake Erie. And then through him, and then eventually with Carl Kamlinski, who is the captain of and the boat owner for our salmon tournament team, you know, some doors opened there for me to get involved with some companies, you know, various field staff positions. And, you know, working at some different trade shows. And then I got to know Martin then through our Straight Line Anglers Club. Martin's the owner of the store. And so, you know, I was dabbling, you know, between all those activities over the years. And then it was the summer of 2020, and the position became available here. And Martin reached out to me to see if I wanted to do a career change, and here I am almost 4 years later. So it certainly was an interesting time too, you know, when that happened. We were just, you know, the first summer of the COVID period, and it was a hub of activity at our store, and, you know, other, you know, sporting goods stores, because, you know, people had time and they were getting into it. And but it was also a challenging time too, because, you know, that's when the supply chain kind of got a little funny as well. So, but yeah, no, prior to that, you know, I had a good job at another place, totally not fishing related. And, but you know, it's nothing like working in a tackle shop for sure.
Tell us about Grimsby Tackle. Tell us about Grimsby, Ontario. Where is it located for people around the country that might not know the geography?
Yeah, so we're on the south shore of Lake Ontario, and we're right between St. Catharines and Hamilton. So we're about, you know, 20 minutes from Port Dalhousie and in the Niagara River and you know, the U.S. border. And we're, you know, close proximity from a few different ports on Lake Erie as well. So that's kind of the handy thing. You know, generally, If you have a south wind or a southwest or a west wind, Lake Ontario generally is pretty good to fish offshore, you know, in a mid-sized boat. But then if you get a north or a northeast wind, it's not as good on this side of Lake Ontario, but you can drive 30 or 40 minutes and you can go fish Lake Erie for, you know, bass or walleye perch. There's some spots where you can get into some rainbow trout too. So, you know, if you like big water, there is usually somewhere you can safely fish, you know, in most scenarios. And, you know, we're about 2 hours away from Lake Simcoe. And then you start getting up to the Kawartha Lakes and Muskoka and Cottage Country and destinations like that. So yeah, we have a nice location here. And as we mentioned earlier in our little chat before we went live here, you know, we didn't have much of a winter here at all. And, you know, it's now the first week of March. And for the last couple of weeks, many anglers locally have pulled their boats out of storage and they're trolling the shallow waters of Lake Ontario. And they're doing very well for brown trout right now. And it won't be too much longer till the salmon arrive. Typically, our salmon fishing gets good when the water kind of hits around 40 to 42 degrees. The water's 37 or so right now. So if this mild weather keeps up, we'll be catching some March kings probably. And that's not a regular thing at all.
Very well suited for your store because you've got such an awesome trolling room, probably one of the more well-stocked trolling rooms in Southern Ontario. Am I pumping your tires too much or is that pretty accurate?
No, not at all. We're very proud of our trolling room. It's, you know, certainly my favorite part of the store. You know, it's all about, you know, the staff that we have here. You know, many of us it's the style of fishing that we do. So we know it well. And it's just kind of second nature to us when we're chatting with customers. You know, we have a lot of firsthand knowledge to pass on. You know, we are pretty well-rounded too, though. You know, we do cater to Lake Erie, smallmouth, and walleye. I'd say that's probably the second tier to our business, but we still have everything you need if you're going traveling elsewhere for pike, if you're going to do some perch or crappie fishing or catfish or stuff like that, or even, you know, river trout fishing, we have that gear too. And you know, we've got a well-rounded staff too that are pretty knowledgeable for most fishing scenarios around here.
Looping back to trolling, this is a big question, but what kind of trends are you kind of seeing, which is probably driven by the population of salmon in Lake Ontario, but what kind of trends are you seeing in the trolling space right now?
We're kind of riding on some ongoing trends currently. I don't feel there's much new stuff that's kind of came out the last year or two. For the longest time, you know, the ways to get your lines in the water was kind of limited, you know, for downriggers and flat lines, you know, through the 90s. And then in the early 2000s, you know, it's generally the American anglers that kind of have the edge on us where they're introducing new ways or new techniques. And so around 2004, roughly, that's when using, you know, devices like using wire line for your dipsy divers and your diving devices, and as well using, you know, lead core, copper, and now another type of line, weighted steel, just weighted lines to get your stuff deeper into the water. And because, you know, on Lake Ontario and Lake Erie, we're allowed to use two rods per person, you know, unlike inland fishing. So if you have three people on your boat, you can have six rods in the water, and it's not hard to do it at all and keep things tangle free for the most part. You know, a typical setup, you know, in the summertime would be, you know, a downrigger on each side of the boat, a dipsy diver on each side of the boat, and then a planer board off to the far side of each side of the boat. And, you know, you fish your copper, lead core, weighted steel off the planer boards, and you can have different lengths of it. So that will determine your depth. So, you know, those were definitely big trends in the mid early 2000s, and they've kind of carried on, you know, I guess for nearly 20 years of that being, you know, mainstream techniques. You know, using cut bait, it's certainly, you know, like herring strips, it kind of was a thing in the 90s, and it went away for a little bit, and it really came back strong 6-7 years ago. So that is certainly a technique that's very popular on for chasing large salmon on Lake Ontario. But you know, spoons and flies, you know, they're always going to have a place too, and they haven't gone anywhere as well. So maybe another trend too has just been, you know, color patterns too, within the last 5-6 years as well. So I think just some of the material and the, you know, the paint and the tape, it used to be, you know, if a manufacturer didn't make it, you couldn't have it, but now it's becoming more available. So there's some, you know, different individuals who are, you know, doing custom work, which is a good thing too. So that's definitely been a trendy thing.
I want a watermelon where the pink is pinkier.
Yeah.
Or I want a watermelon with 5 dots instead of 7.
We don't know anything about that. Honestly, when we bought Northern King in 2016, I think that was the biggest learning curve for Brad and I, because we come from, you know, the prairie space where everyone just wants a yellow and red 5 of diamonds. And we had to hustle over the last 5 years to get a color assortment that people were happy with.
Yeah.
And I think we're there.
Yeah, no, you definitely are. I've, you know, seen it every year when you're testing new colors, and no, it's an impressive lineup that you have now.
Why, thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Mark. I would like to know, I would like you to talk about the actual fishery now. Let's sure. Stick with the Great Lakes, just because you've got Lake Erie and Lake Ontario right there. So talk mm-hmm. about the fisheries for people across the country, and tell us how awesome Erie is and how awesome Ontario is, and what species are we chasing.
You know, things that, you know, have their ebbs and flows for different species, you know, every so often. For the most part, you know, all species, you know, the major game fish within our area is quite good right now. Unlike Ontario with the salmon, you know, about 10 years ago, 2014 and 15, we had extreme cold winters, you know, the exact opposite of what we've had, you know, the last two winters. And it did a bit of a number on the alewife, which are the primary forage on Lake Ontario. And with that, there was a reduced stocking by the Ministry of Natural Resources, because they were just being cautious because they didn't want to see a collapse that kind of happened with Lake Huron in the Georgian Bay area many years ago. So, you know, we still had decent fishing in different parts of the lake, you know, over the years. You know, some parts of the year and some areas on the lake had their peak parts where it was still excellent fishing, but then there were some areas where it was a little bit slower. And there's a couple other factors at play right now, you know, with urban sprawl, and some of the rivers and creeks aren't you know, as healthy as they used to be for, you know, natural reproduction. You know, Lake Ontario is, you know, a put and take, you know, a lot of stock fish, but there is some areas on the North Shore where, you know, there was and still is some nice clean rivers where there is some reproduction happening as well. But so, you know, we just recently got some data from the MNR, and it looks like the alewife population is doing quite well. And we suspect with this mild winter that it's going to continue to be good. So that's, you know, lots of food for the salmon and most of the trout species that, that, you know, rely on that. Brown trout fishing, we've seen probably one of the better brown trout, you know, fishing seasons from this last fall through the winter and currently. So that's good. The rainbow or steelhead fishing has been a little up and down the last few years, but I'd say overall it's still decent. I wouldn't say it's really good right now. There's always lots of lake trout to be had around here as well. So that kind of covers Lake Ontario. And, you know, Niagara River in Lake Erie, walleye fishing is off the charts, really good all over. Record numbers every year we're hearing from the biologists. So, we'll see how long that can keep going. And the smallmouth bass fishing has been very good as well. Perch fishing has been good. You know, it's kind of cyclical too. You know, some years are better than others. And even the muskie fishing. So Niagara River used to have a very good muskie fishery. And then there was a VHS disease in the early mid 2000s. And it kind of lowered the numbers of the muskie. And but it seems like it's slowly coming back as well, which is good. And there's even, you know, muskie being some resident populations being found in different parts along the Canadian shoreline of Lake Erie. So we're kind of seeing some new little fisheries being established there too. So overall, things are looking quite positive for our local fishery as well.
We're heavily involved with stocking ponds with our own internal conservation programs and whatnot. And we supported the, which one was it, Jess? The East Metro East Anglers Hatchery, right? So I know you know a little bit about hatcheries. Tell us about how the hatcheries work in Ontario, and tell us how important that is to the health of the fisheries.
So, you know, Lake Ontario primarily is, you know, stocked. You know, they do kind of equate for, you know, some natural reproduction. They try to monitor it as best they can. But, you know, Metro East Anglers has a hatchery, and I believe they do the brown trout and coho and maybe rainbow trout. I can't remember, but the salmon, they are actually hatched at Normandale, which is on the shores of Lake Erie. So, and then, you know, there are different clubs, you know, Metro East being a big one, around the lake, where we have pen imprinting projects, as we call them. They've been going on since about 2008, 2009. And generally these clubs are given an allotment. So, you know, let's say that, you know, Port Dalhousie, where we are, you know, they're going to get 100,000 salmon stocked in a year. They then take from that, let's say 30,000. I'm giving out just rough numbers, but I feel I'm pretty close. 30,000 can go in the pens, and then 70,000 get direct stock dumped into the harbor. So they make allowances for clubs to raise them in the pens. And the reason for the pens is a few things. The imprinting part is so that they'll, you know, recognize that harbor or river water as home, so that when they return in their fourth year in the fall to go through their reproductive cycle, you know, they'll find that water and return, and that creates, you know, a local fishery for those fishing in small boats close to shore and the shore anglers there. So that's the imprinting aspect. And the other is just to they get fed, so they stay in the pens for, you know, usually about anywhere from 3 to 5 weeks, and it depends how the water temperature is, and they're fed. Most of these pen projects have automatic feeders, and they're just fed pellets, you know, for that time, so that they're able to get a little bigger, so that then when they're released, they're a little stronger, and they can avoid you know, predators like birds and other fish when they get released.
I didn't know anything about that. So that's very interesting.
Does your club become very protective of their fish, like we become protective of ours? So we stock a lot of local trout ponds in our area. And like anytime you see a cormorant, just cringe a little bit, because you're like, hey, that fish costs us $5.
Yeah, well, you know, these are, you know, the fish are government, you know, funded stocking, so we're just, you know, partners with the ministry, so we don't have a monetary side, you know, we're not invested that way into the fish. But no, it's disappointing when you see some cormorants, but we do the best that we can when it comes time to release them, but there's only so much you can do. So
nature.
No, it is nice to see, you know, those that are fishing in the harbor, because, you know, the brown trout and the rainbow trout, they're accessible from shore from usually October through April. So that's a good chunk of the season where, you know, people who don't have a boat or a lot of equipment can, you know, catch brown and rainbows by drift fishing in the channel there. And there's a lot of shore access within Port Dalhousie Harbor. And the Niagara River is similar too. You know, some of those fish find their way there, and it's, you know, a great, great fishery.
So I want to change direction here a little bit. We've talked a lot about the business and the fishery, but I want to talk about your not-for-profit stuff that you've been working on. Maybe you can teach a few things to me. You are heavily involved in the fishing community, not-for-profit side. So tell us about St. Catharines Game and Fish and the Straight Line Anglers Clubs and all that sort of fun stuff. Tell us about the organizations.
All right. First off, with the St. Catharines Game and Fish, so we are in our In 2020, we began our 90th year of service to the community and in the outdoors in this area. So I think 94 years, I think that puts us at. COVID kind of threw off my timetable, but anyway, so that's where we're at. I believe we're in our 47th or 48th year of operating our Spring Salmon Derby, which is a long running tradition here. So, but the St. Catharines Game and Fish has roots, we were heavily involved with a lot more in the shooting and the hunting aspect, back in, the 70s and the 80s. Back then there was a huge membership and there was a lot of people that involved that had those interests, trap shooting. And we were very involved with the wild turkey reintroduction in Southern Ontario. We have a Kids Day program as well. The roots of that was there used to be, the first Saturday in May, and this started in the early 90s, where, kids and their families could come down and fish in Port Dalhousie Harbor. And it was for a full day, and there was a barbecue, and there was, prizes for, the biggest fish and different age groups and stuff like that. And it's been very successful, and it went all the way until, the spring of 2020, and then we had to kind of readjust how that was done, and we've kind of continued it now. This will be year four for it. We've got a virtual competition. It's kind of like a scavenger hunt now for the kids. So we challenge them during their summer vacation from school, so at the early July until Labor Day weekend, they have all summer to catch as many different species as they can. And it's not about big fish. It's just about getting out with your family and your friends and catching as many fish, traveling around, checking out new water. And, we've got a small team of volunteers that tracks all their entries. And then, the child who catches the most fish in their age category wins. We've had some kids catching, over 30 different species of fish. And, these kids are doing their research too. They're reading about, what kind of rivers or lakes, this species can be in. And, we're getting a few obscure entries too. There's many different types of, minnows and fish from the sucker and carp family too, that aren't as well known. So it's been an educating process for the organizers and the participants at the same time. So
how is it tracked? Is it through like an app or is it manually tracked?
No, they just email their entries in, just a picture. And, every year we have a, we call it a button, but it's just a printout. So they have to include that into their picture so that we can verify that, the fish was caught, this year, and they're not, using or Photoshopping entries. So, but
that's a good idea. I like that.
Yeah.
That's a
great idea.
You're more than welcome to
borrow it, steal it.
For sure.
They're not going to be able to find 30 species in our area, though, unfortunately.
No, maybe not 30, but it's still, I mean, I love that you give them an inspiration, give them a prize pack. It is so funny how my eldest daughter is been in piano for 2 years now. She's really getting quite good at it, but she does not like practicing. Mm. And we had this trouble with her for a long time to get her to practice. And then somebody suggested that we do like a sticker for a prize. And now if she practices for 15 minutes, she gets a sticker, she gets seven stickers, she gets a prize. We haven't had to fight about practicing for a month and a half. Like it's just, it's crazy. So, but I like the idea. And I like the fact that you get kids engaged in the summer and get them outside instead of in the house. I love that idea.
Yeah. So and a couple other things too. We've got a youth tackle share program. And, we've got one member in our club, Jerry, who kind of spearheaded this many years ago. We're partnered up with a few different libraries within the area where people can check out a fishing rod and a little tackle box And life jackets are available too, if they need them, just like a book. So they can, you know, borrow a rod reel and some tackle for a weekend at no charge. And, you know, Jerry, you know, maintains these kits and he raises money different ways throughout the year. So he takes donated tackle from, you know, anglers, you know, if they have some stuff that maybe they've won in some competitions and they don't want, or, you know, if there are widows who have, you know, are left with their husband's fishing gear and they don't know what to do with it, you know, we'll take the donations or we'll buy it at fair value. And then we'll resell it if we can't use it within our kits. And all the money that gets raised just goes right back into the program to keep the kits going. So that's been very successful over the last number of years. So we've got a bunch of other little subcommittees and projects that are been ongoing, and some that we're brainstorming and starting up too. So never a dull moment.
So we're running out of time for the program, but I still have two important things I want to talk about. Mm-hmm. First is, you know, how do you encourage more people to join a local club? Like, how do you get people involved? How do you talk?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm, you know, almost every opportunity that I get in some sort of a public setting when people are listening, I certainly encourage them to join whatever fishing club is near to them. You know, there are fishing clubs all over Southern Ontario, and, you know, many are multi-species, and some are, you know, there's different Bassmasters chapters across the province, if that's your thing. You know, but there's other, you know, just rod and gun clubs. And I tell people, you know, everybody's tight for time with different activities and stuff. You know, it can't be expected that you're on every committee or attend all the meetings, but, you know, throw down your $20 or $30, you know, annually for your dues, do what you can, but, you know, just get involved and support, if you can. So it goes a long way. And if you can get involved, you know, a little bit or maybe a lot, you know, like, you know, it changed my life, you know, as I said, you know, through the people I met and just timing and everything. So I'm very grateful for everything that's come of it on my end. And, you know, I've seen it for other people too. You know, you make a lot of good friends, fishing buddies, and you know, it can be a good experience for sure. You know, it's no different too than, you know, as, you know, parents, you know, get involved with their minor hockey or their other kids programs too. And, you know, if fishing or the outdoors is your thing, there's clubs nearby.
But way more fun than minor hockey, right, Jess? Yeah. Right, Jess?
You know what? I have enjoyed my first year as a hockey mom a lot more than I thought I would. Like, a lot more. But I don't think that is going to stay consistent, because as it gets more competitive, yeah, it'll just get more stressful. Like, right now, he's really cute. He's 7 and he's learning all these new skills, but I digress.
What about your first year as membership chair? Is it like on par? Or is it...
So I'm only a couple months in to my
term as
membership chair, but I'm already at, I've exceeded last year's membership.
Nice.
So, well, you know.
Good job.
Things happen.
Very, very briefly too, I'll just quickly share. We've got our Straight Line Anglers Club too, which is based out of Grimsby, and we're a multi-species club. And our store has had a close relationship with them since the beginning. And, you know, we've got a new executive on board with some fresh energy, and things are looking quite positive for that. We do some different events, you know, in different areas around here. And then, recently too, I took on the role of youth director with our St. Catharines Bassmasters Club. My son has been quite involved with them the last few years, you know, competing with them. And so
how old is he?
He is now, well, he's 16 now. He'll be 17 in the fall. So that's Jeffrey. They needed a new youth director after the one who had been there for 10 years finally needed a break. So I didn't want to see that program evaporate. So I agreed to, but I've got a good team of some other guys helping me out too. So it's
who needs sleep, right, Mark?
Yeah, really. So, no, it's good. You know, my son's made some good friends with it, and he even has started his own little tackle business that happened during COVID. Jeff's Jigs. So he does custom marabou and bucktail jigs, and he travels to some local tackle swaps and small tackle shows within Southern Ontario as well. So it's been a good project and endeavor for him.
What are his Instagram and or website details, if you want to plug that now?
Sure. Oh, well, we're working on a website, but you can just look him up on Instagram or Facebook, just simply Jeff's Jigs. And
support he's got a Canadian young entrepreneur.
Yep, no, for sure. He's got some good stuff out there, and it's been doing well for him.
As long as he doesn't get into the spoon business, then we won't have a problem.
Yeah, I think you're safe there.
So. Okay, last question, I promise, before rapid fire. I want to just talk very briefly about tournament fishing, because you've been tournament angling for decades now. So in, let's say, 1 minute or less, tell us about tournament fishing. How'd you get involved in your boat, or I don't know. Tell me about tournament fishing.
No, tournament fishing, it's a rush. I love it. I understand it's not for everyone, and that's fine. It doesn't have to be. That's the beauty about fishing. You can make it as simple or complicated as you want to. You know, you can just hang out a dew worm, or you can have the latest and greatest stuff. We're certainly seeing that right now with all the electronics that are hitting the market, and it's kind of becoming a little controversial, but it doesn't have to be. Tournament fishing's a blast. I've got, a great team that we do it with. We have a lot of fun. We have our ups and downs, but we've had some good success along the way. It challenges you as an angler, and it's been great. You know, you meet a lot of different teams that you kind of are on circuit with. You know, we fish anywhere from 3 to maybe 5 or 6 events a year across Lake Ontario. We made some good friends with different teams over the years, you know, in Ontario and as well as some in the States as well. So it's a blast. I enjoy it.
Mark's going to be really good at rapid fire. I have a feeling.
Yeah. Well, oh boy. He has to be, because we're over budget, because we have too much good stuff to talk to Mark about.
Well, he has too many roles. It's his own fault.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, too many titles.
Okay. Rapid fire. Are you familiar with the rules of rapid fire, Mark?
Yeah, let's go.
30 seconds. You have 30 seconds to answer a question. Jess holds up a little timer. Sometimes there's a little discussion that comes out of it, but maybe not today.
All right. We'll be brief.
Question number one ties into our last question. Tell us about your most successful tournament that you ever competed in.
Okay, that one is pretty easy. It was 2015. It was the final event of the King of the Lake series on Lake Ontario. We went into the event near the bottom of the standings for the overall title. And that last event, the fishing ended up being very tough, but we ended up doing quite well. We ended up winning the tournament, and we won the overall championship. It was, I'll never forget it. Everything just kind of came together for us. And when it's your time, it's your time. And, you know, that was pretty cool.
Okay, so sub question: how much does a winner of the King of the Lake earn?
Well, yeah, I'm trying to remember. Like, there was a few different things that came into play, because there's, you know, the overall part of it. There was the tournament part. There was some side bets and stuff like that, and some was cash and some was prizes. So it was probably around $15,000 or so for our team's, you know, split. So I think it was around that range.
Very good.
That's
so,
good.
You know, it's not, you're not making a career out of it, but you know, it every year we hope to cover our costs and maybe have a little extra in the end.
A couple beers at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Question number two, what is the number one question you get asked by customers about the local fishery, and what is the answer?
Yeah, no, we get asked, you know, where the hot fishing is. And I guess it, I don't know how good of an answer it'll be, but yeah, we're generally asked, you know, what the bite is like, where it's happening, and what the fish are biting. And we try to answer them best depending what the species and location is.
Question number three, you are a father of two. How old are your kids, and how did you give them the fishing bug?
Okay, Jeffrey is 16 and Jillian is 9. Jeffrey's came pretty organically. I think he was 6 or 7 when we started doing an annual cottage vacation trip up north. And that's really when he started liking it. But, he's been in the boat ever since he's been in diapers. So it just kind of came naturally for him. Jillian loves to fish too. She's got her other interests as well. But when we go on vacation, you can't get her off the dock. She's happy pulling in sunfish one after another. She likes jigging for walleye too. She's pretty good at it.
Question number 4. Picture this. It's tournament day. You are fishing Lake Ontario. In 30 seconds, tell us how you decide where to go and what is your go-to setup to start the day.
We'll look at the water temperature because that kind of gives us a good clue to where the bait and where the salmon might be. And we've got, resources like satellite maps and temperature charts too. And we'll head there and we'll start covering water and we'll adapt as we need to.
No trade secrets given there. What question number 5, what is the biggest challenge as a volunteer in the fishing industry?
Probably the biggest challenge is finding other volunteers. And that kind of has its ebbs and flows too, but we're within all the groups that I'm a part of right now, we've got a pretty good group, and you can't beat when everything comes together and you kind of become like a mini family. Everyone comes from different areas, but in the end we have the same kind of common goals. So the biggest challenge is getting other volunteers.
Question number 6. Tell us your go-to fishing story that you tell at parties.
Oh. I don't even know if I really have one.
Come on.
I will tell maybe the similar story I already told you about our big comeback to win the championship that one year. I'm sorry. You're probably going to get a lame answer for me out of this one. I don't really have a go-to.
Question number 7. You've been in retail for 4 years now. Tell us your most interesting or memorable customer experience that you've had.
Spill the tea, Mark.
There's been a couple. I think there's been a couple similar ones where maybe some customers were just inadequately set up in the beginning. For what they were intending to do, but then with our help we were able to kind of get them on the right path, and then they come back with a successful story and a picture. So that's there's been a couple like that, so that stands out.
Making memories. Question number 8, last question. You're doing great. What event are you most excited about for 2024?
2020. Okay, well, besides seeing you two again at the distributor show. It's probably the it's two things. It's the King of the Lake series and the salmon tournaments with our team, but it's fish and some bass tournaments with my son. We've been doing a lot of bass fishing lately, and it's a fun way for us to spend time together.
Love it. Mark, thank you for your time today. Before we go, we talked about a lot of different things today, but where can people learn more about Grimsby and your volunteer organizations?
Sure. Yeah, no, we've got our website, Grimsby Tackle. We've got a Facebook and an Instagram page. We've got a growing YouTube channel. It's something that we've been working on. There's a lot of informative tidbits on there that we record because there's a lot of information to learn about, Great Lakes trolling. So we send them that way. And St. Catharines Game and Fish has a website and, social media platforms too. And so does Straight Line Anglers and the St. Catharines Bassmasters. And Jeff's Jigs.
Jeff's Jigs. Going to see a huge boost in sales after this one. Yeah.
We'll have to get a couple samples out to you.
Sounds good. Mark, thanks so much for joining us. I just wanted to thank you for your time. You're a very busy guy. And I also want to remind all of our listeners to, once again, we've been seeing some nice growth in the pod, and we'd really appreciate your continued ratings and shares and comments. It really seems to help out a lot. So take the extra 5 or 10 seconds at the end of the podcast and leave us a rating, share it, and write a review. Until next time.
Don't take my line.
Oh, sorry.
Until next time, listeners. Happy fishing.